life-changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to A Life-Changing Experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life-Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Oh my goodness. Father, I bless you and I thank you for what we've already experienced this morning. I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are in this place more than we could even ask for, God. We don't take it, God, for granted that you are here and that you live here in this place. Now, God, I ask that you would bless this message this morning. Let it be food for their souls, God. And let us always be doers of your word and not just hearers. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Certainly this morning I'd like to talk to you from the subject, getting back to family basics. All right. Amen. Would you be seated? We're celebrating our Family and Friends Weekend. Yes, ma'am. And I do want to thank all of you for coming out yesterday to the picnic. It was absolutely wonderful. And the rain, in between the raindrops, we had a wonderful time. Didn't get to play ball or anything because of the weather, but the food was simply wonderful. The fellowship was just wonderful. And I just thank God for every one of you all who came out on yesterday. It was wonderful. I wanted to talk about family this morning since this is our Family and Friends Weekend. The family is important, just as friends are important. No man is an island. All there are folk that will say, "I don't need anybody." But I come to tell you this morning, that's not true. Everybody needs somebody. Amen. Everybody needs somebody. It's a part of life. It's just how life is. And when you try to get out of what life is, prophet, is you get in trouble. Life is that we need love. Everybody needs love. Maslow, who's one of the greatest psychologists that ever lived, says that without it, we perish. Amen. You need love. Need love because Jesus is love. And there's nothing that he is that you don't need. Everything that he is, we need it. It is a unique concept to take time to acknowledge our friends and our loved ones. It is time for families to get back to basics. Family and Friend Day is the modern homecoming day. You all remember homecoming? Homecoming was when you had all of the friends and family and other churches came in the neighborhood and you sit outside and we would eat and drink and everybody would have a great time and drink lemonade. And after that, we went inside for worship. It was revival time. You open up with revival. The following week, you were in church every night giving God some praise. I used to look forward to homecoming because you would see friends and family that you had never seen in a long time. And I think that's something that we might want to try over here. Get letters out to everybody who used to come here and just tell them to come on, let's have a good old time. and eat some food outside. I want somebody to work on that. I'd like to do that. Amen. However, there are no unique families or friends. In every family and in every friendship, you're going to find some issues. Tell somebody you're going to find some issues. And you will find some fun. You'll find some sadness. You're going to find some disappointment. You're going to find some happiness. You're going to find some jealousy. And yet sometimes dysfunctional attitudes. Dysfunctional attitudes will rise up in families. And don't look at me like that, because everybody in here got somebody that's dysfunctional in their family. Don't look at me like that. I know you love them. I got some in mind. I got some. But we love them, don't we, y'all? We love them. But some of those attitudes that they have, oh, we got to take it to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. And so it may seem sometimes in your family that you just can't seem to get stuff right with them. You know what I mean? Tell the person next to you, you know what you're talking about. Y'all got all deep on me. Y'all sat there and put your heads all up. I wonder what family she's talking about. I'm talking about your family in your face, not behind your back. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But families fail to be at peace when they are so far removed from God's plan and blueprint. He has a blueprint for families. And for whatever reason, God decided to use family as a metaphor depicting nature and love between each other. He used that. As we all know, a good family life is a gift from God and will be seen as a reward for following God. What constitutes a good family life, you're asking? I see it on your faces. You over there trying to check your family out. Y'all thinking about, let me see what's going on over here. How do we get back to the basics? We know without certain qualities, your home can either be heavenly or hectic. And if I'm not mistaken, all of us at some point have seen both. We've seen family be heavenly, and then the next day, chaos. Amen. But that's family. The fruit of the Spirit should be displayed in our families as well as service. We're so busy talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we always seem to apply it to the church house. Well, we need to start bringing stuff back home. It starts at home before it goes anywhere else. Amen. What we need in our homes, we need integrity. We need honesty. We need prayer. And if these qualities are not there, it is going to mess up your relationship. Amen. Friendships do not last based on deceit. When you get into a relationship with a friend, I'm not talking about a man or a woman. I'm talking about whether it's a young lady having a friend, a woman friend or a man friend, whatever. If you're not honest about who you are, the relationship will not last. And it won't last because eventually the real you is going to come out. Now, if you got some issues, you ought to say it right up front. You ought to say that, listen, this is one of the things that happens with me now. I hope that you can handle this. Because I tell some of the people, my friends, when we become friends, when they meet me, I let them know that I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time to go out. I don't have a lot of time to talk on the phone. It isn't that I don't like you or want to be around you. I just don't have the time. One of my friends said to me, well, it looked like every once in a while you would call me. I said, I got friends that I've known for years. Is that right? And we don't talk to each other. But if I need them, I can pick up the phone and my real friend will show up. I don't have to hear you ain't called me in a year. I don't have to hear where you been. All I need you to do is to say, what do you need, Dottie? Where are you, Dottie? I'm coming. I'm on my way. And vice versa with me. Amen?
That's right.
So friendships have to be formed on honesty. Yeah, the relationship is going to fall under pretense. There's a question that's getting ready to make any family stop what you're doing and do an evaluation of your home. And this question that I'm getting ready to ask you is, are you running a hotel or are you running a home? When I got ready to put the sermon together, that came in my spirit. Whoa. Let me tell you about a hotel. A hotel is a building that houses families and friends for a price. People come and go at the hotel with no regard or interest for others. Some homes are just like that. Family members do not even see each other for days. And they have no idea what's going on in the house. Dinner is not eaten together anymore.
All right.
And the dinner table is just there for decorations. Why? Because some family members prefer to eat upstairs in their rooms rather than at the dinner table with the family. You all remember we used to sit at the table and eat all together. But now you can tell when families are not eating together because they got the placemats with the napkins. And it looks pretty all the time. It's never moved. When you go back the next time, the kids haven't been there to mess it up. Nobody has been there to mess up the carpet under there. But when you go to somebody's house where the carpet looks worn and the table got some grits on it or it's got some chicken wings on the floor, that lets you know that family is eating together. Families need to sit together. When was the last time your family sat together for a meal and had a family discussion? When you sit at the table, that's when stuff comes out. I don't know about you, but I used to ride my nephews around in my car, and they would sit in the back seat, and while I'm driving, they would talk, and all kind of stuff comes out then. They think you're not listening, but when you got your kids in the car, they get to talking with each other. That's how they know you know what's going on. And all of a sudden, you'll say, when that happened? You need to have more communication with the family. There are times you ask how old one of the children is. And they can't even remember how old their daughter or their son is. I think that's terrible. You need to know how old your children are. You need to know when their birthdays are. Do you hear me? So when we look at Psalm 128, we observe God as the true head of the home. And therefore, we should reverence him. This particular scripture is sometimes called the marriage prayer. My Bible had at the top, marriage prayer. And it was called that because it was sung at Israelite weddings. It was an opportunity to hear God's word as the young couples would begin their life together. In a real sense, when it was sung, a strong and steadfast foundation was put in place for family life. Do you not know that when you get married, you ought to have a foundation that is already set that you're going to follow? When you get married, you got to understand that you're not getting married by yourself. Amen. You've got to look at some of the little things that you do and try to curb that. Do you hear me, y'all? Amen. Do you not know that it's the little things that get in the way in a marriage? It's not big things. It's little things. I have heard of people getting divorced because he clicks his spoon in the coffee cup. That seems minor, but to somebody, they make a big deal from that. Do y'all hear me? However, many families we see in the Bible turned away from God's vision for the family. While the values outlined in God's word are vital for any household and relationship, many today have turned a deaf ear to what God says. We fail to walk in God's ways and choose to follow a deadly path. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. That's because we're not leaning on what the Lord has said. We're leaning to our own understanding. Hallelujah. And then Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. If you can follow what the word of the Lord is saying and trust what he's saying, then we're going to be all right. Do you all hear me? We've been talking about being in the right position with the Lord. Well, the only way you're going to do that is to follow what the Lord is saying. Now let's take a look at a few biblical families that had some serious issues. Tell somebody serious. Let's begin in the beginning of the book. Let's go to Genesis, the 25th chapter, and the 21st to the 29th verses is where we find Rebecca, Isaac's wife, pregnant with twins. Even before they're even born. Here they are against each other. The Bible said they were struggling in the mother's womb. They were at odds with each other. They weren't even born yet. The prophecy came forth to her that there were two nations in her womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. One named Esau and the other named Jacob. And this story goes on and on, and I'm hoping that you will read this and when you go home. But at the end, Esau ends up selling his birthright to his brother. Tell somebody for some food. All done in deceit. Deceit is a terrible thing. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, we find a dysfunctional family if I've ever seen one. And that was in the person of Eli, the high priest, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. The high priest could not rule his own household, but he was up there trying to rule somebody else. Don't you know folk like that? Their house is a mess, it's in shambles. But here they're gonna tell you how to run your house. They can't even take care of their own children, but they're gonna tell you how to run your children. His sons were rebellious, and they continued to disobey God deliberately by cheating and seducing women and robbing the people. But here he is, the high priest, but don't want to tell his kids right from wrong. Y'all, let me tell you something. You better start telling your kids no. You better start telling the kids when something's wrong. It's better for them to get mad with you today than to get mad with the judge. So they get mad with you. But right is right. And we need to tell our children that. And so while Eli was in position to judge others and give advice, he couldn't do it with the kids. And not only did he have a problem with that, he had a drinking problem himself, the high priest. He had a drinking problem. And he was dishonest, and it was always displayed. He had the do as I say, not as I do attitude. I know some folk like that. Do as I say, but don't do as I do. Amen? Amen. There's Rahab. We talked about her last week. The prostitute who came from the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. But family is family. And regardless of what she did, she made sure that her family was taken care of when Jericho was invaded. There was Lot, whose daughter slept with him. Then came the first history of incest. There is nothing new under the sun. Tell somebody nothing new. But no matter how things go down in the family, we are still family. Tell somebody we're still family. And one of the things that I've learned in all of my 60-odd years is that you don't get involved with family. If it's not yours, you set yourself up for a world of trouble. Family will let you talk for a minute. But after a while, by and by, they're going to tell you to back up. Because this is family. One of the worst things you can do is to get in with a husband and wife. Let me tell you something. I counsel people, and they come to my office. But guess what? I've got enough sense to know how far to go. There are things you just don't tell certain people to do. Now, I don't care what you're thinking, but you need to try to work the problem out. But you don't tell folks certain things because after a while, wife is going to put you in your place, or husband is going to put you in your place. So you got to be careful how you get in people's stuff. Amen. Tell somebody it's just family and friends. Oh boy, let's talk about friends. There are really very few real friends. When people say they've got 10 and 12 good friends, I'm going to question that. Because there are not a whole lot of real good friends. And I've said this I don't know how many times, that I know for a fact that I've got some friends. But my real friends that I know that will come and bail me out no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I've got three of them. And they didn't become my friends yesterday. Well, I'm talking about we've been friends for years and years. One of those friends is Minister Haywood. And I got two more that live in New York. And I can pick my phone up any time or any night, and I can say, look, my friends are there. And they can do the same with me. Don't mess with us. I'm telling y'all right now. I'm telling you, don't get in with me and Louise. If you hear us arguing with each other, stay out of it. Y'all better hear me, because she and I go at it. And at the end of the day, she's asking me where you want to go eat. That's my friend. But nevertheless, she has never disrespected my office.
That's right.
That's why we can be friends. Because there are some friends that when you get too close to them, they start disrespecting your office. They start looking at you as being common with them. But never, ever, ever has she ever done that with me. I have always been pastor. I have always been overseer to her. And even when we are together by ourselves, the respect that we have for each other is still there. Talking about a friend. A friend, if you get a friend a job, or they get you a job, you ought to try to make them look real good. Because if they thought enough to get you the job, at least you ought to make the boss think. At least make him feel that you've got some integrity with the people that you know. Am I right about it? But the one that you tell your most intimate thoughts to, the ones you go everywhere together with, and the ones you are attached to, by affection, know who you do that with. The Davis sisters sang a song, old group back in the day, called Your Friend, Your Close Friend. And in the song, they said, your enemy cannot harm you, but keep an eye on your close friend. Because your enemy don't know your business. Your enemy don't know stuff. You don't tell them nothing. But your close friend, they got all of the scope. They know everything that you do. So you got to be careful, even in that, who you share things with. Do y'all hear me? A friend never puffs up the other one falsely. They never tell you how good you're looking when you're looking awful. They don't tell you that you've done a great job when you were terrible. Friends just don't do that. When they ask you, how do you think this dress look on me? And you know that the dress don't look good. Why would you send your friend out into the street like that? And you can say it without hurting them. If I were you, I would wear something different. What's wrong with that? I'd wear something different. One size don't fit all. You just can't do that. So you got to tell them the truth. Am I right about it? Friends just don't do that with each other. When you know that you got a friend and your friend is saying something that's out of order and you know it's out of order, you shouldn't agree with it. Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, Senior Pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety, or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Are you ready?
to renew your mind.